Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and Celebrity Interviews live from the Grotto with Greg Hanna. Greg, what's going on, man? How are you?
I am doing fantastic, Neil. How are you?
Good, good. For your Boston fans, especially, you know, your business located in the Boston region, they got to be a huge fan of our guest today. So New England Patriots all-star legend, Tony Collins. Tony, thanks for stopping by, man. And how about when you were part of the 80 run? You never thought that there'd be this dynasty with the Patriots, right? Did you ever think that, you know, going through working the way you work to get to the certain point, which is the Super Bowl, and then later on see the dynasty, which the Patriots end up creating?
I mean, it was a lot of fun watching it. I tell you, watching Brady do his thing. You know, it, you never know what's going to happen. And the years that I was there, my rookie season, we were 2-14. So then, my third, fourth year, we make it to the Super Bowl. So a lot of people don't know that we were the first New England Patriot team to go to a Super Bowl. But it's just incredible to see the dynasty that it is. And hopefully we can get it back running again.
All right.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah. So Greg, you will start out, Greg, with just finding out, do you always want to be a football player, Tony? Is that something growing up you want to be a football player?
Oh, man. So I'm from a big family. I don't know if you know how many. I'm from a family of 16. And so I have nine brothers. There were nine boys and seven girls. And all the boys, we all played sports. My father actually played in the Negro League. So we all played baseball. We all played football. We all played basketball. But our main sport was football. And so everybody in the family played football. And, grew up in a small town in upstate New York. I'll tell you how I got there later.
So what small town in upstate New York? Because my dad grew up in Scroon Lake.
Pinyan, outside of Rochester.
Okay.
On Keuka Lake. It's about an hour south of Rochester, New York.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's where I grew up at. And we just created a kind of a little small town. So we were number one state champion, small school, my senior year. But it was even before that, my brothers played there. And, you know, it was like a dynasty for us. So everybody knew Pinyan was a football town because of the Collins family. And so it was pretty cool growing up in that little small town.
Well, that's great. When did you know that you were going to be in the NFL? When did you decide that was going to happen?
Okay, so I think I was like 9 years old.
Yep.
I go to my mom and I tell my mom, and I tell this to, I used to tell to a lot of kids, I don't speak as much as I used to. Your words have power. And so I went to my mom and I told my mom, I said, Mom, I'm going to play in the NFL at 9 years old. And my mom said, Son, you can do anything you want to do if you put your mind to it. And from that moment on, man, it's hard to explain or how to make somebody believe it. I knew at 9 years old that I was going to play in the NFL because my mom said I could do it.
See, Tony, that's sometimes the only thing we need is somebody to be behind us, believing in us.
Yes, that's it.
It's so if you don't have people believing in you, you kind of really, that's the big thing. It's so much mindset when you have talent, because if people are telling you, yeah, you can't. I remember when I was a professional wrestler, and because I was a big guy, I wasn't, you know, as well polished in the ring, but I had a good size and everything. The guys would just say, yeah, you're never going to go to the big time and all these things. Right. And you listen to these naysayers. I came close to the WWE. I wrestled once in the WWE against Crush and Savio Vega, but I never, you know, reached the pinnacle, went overseas. But I allow people's at my young age mindset hearing this. How much are you, are you glad you had people around you that supported you? Because you see athletes today that if they didn't have that support, you wouldn't get to where you are.
It was tremendous for me. And see, here's the thing about me. I had my older brothers. I was number seven out of the nine boys. And so I had a lot of older brothers to look up to, and they all play football. Actually, I wasn't the best football player out of them boys. So I had a brother who started freshman on varsity. No one ever starts freshman in Pinyin on varsity. So he did. And so, and here's the key to that thing for me. So my older brother started on varsity. His name was Morris, his freshman year in high school. And so that was my goal, man. You know, that was all I wanted to do, is make sure I start on varsity my freshman year, like my brother Morris. And I didn't make the team. I did not make varsity. And I know you hear the Michael Jordan story, but it was just like that. I worked my butt off, man. I was so disappointed, and I never wanted to feel that way again. And so I was really a fanatic. To be totally honest with you, I took it to another level. I used to run hills. I used to run stadium steps. I'm in the ninth grade, man. Everybody thinks I'm crazy. But I just took it to a whole nother level. And my sophomore year, I went out for the team. And of course, I made it. And the rest is history. But yeah, you know.
Oh, that's awesome. And what was the next stop after high school? What happened next?
Actually, we went to East Carolina University. Crazy how I got to East Carolina University. So my senior year in high school, you get five official visits. And so I had visited Syracuse, schools close to the area where I can drive to. And I got a visit to the University of Florida. So I'm in upstate New York. So now I get a chance to go to University of Florida on a visit. And I'm really excited. Now, you got to also understand, I've never been on an airplane before. So when you're from a family of 16, you don't travel on airplanes a lot. So I've never been on an airplane before. And I was so excited about getting on this airplane and going and visit the University of Florida. Got on the airplane, got down there, man. Everything was just perfect. Pinyin Academy colors are orange and blue. Florida's orange and blue. I mean, everything just went perfect. I signed a letter of intent. I'm going to University of Florida. That was my fourth visit. So everything is fine. I come back home and I get a call from Pat Dye. I don't know if you remember Pat Dye. He coached at Auburn.
Okay, I remember.
Coach Bo Jackson. He was at East Carolina.
Then. Oh, okay.
So Pat Dye calls me up on the phone. He says, we see you have one more visit to take. Would you like to come to East Carolina? I never heard of East Carolina before. but my first question to him, I said, are you going to fly me now? And he says, yeah, we'll fly you now. So I get to get on the airplane, the second trip on the airplane, my second in 2 weeks. So I was excited about going on an airplane again. I had no intentions of going to East Carolina University. None. It wasn't even a question. I'm going to University of Florida. I'm just going for the visit to have a good time. And so I get down there, and Pat Dye says this to me. He says, son, if you come here, you'll get an opportunity to play, and you get an opportunity to play in the NFL. And he changed my mind. The coach at Florida, I think it was Dickey. I'm not really sure what coach it was. But he said, I might get redshirted my freshman year. And I didn't know too much about redshirting, but Pat Dye said, if I come there, I get an opportunity to play, and I get an opportunity to play in the NFL. And I remember to this day, my father said, I heard of North Carolina and I heard of South Carolina, but where in the hell is East Carolina? It wasn't even on the map, man. And that was Pat Dye was the reason I went to East Carolina. And, you know, the rest is history for that, too. Had a great career at ECU and you know, really making my dreams come true and being drafted by the New England Patriots in the second round.
Phenomenal. So how did you get through the winters up here? You know, I've lived here my whole life. I've always been threatening to move to Florida, to California, to North Carolina, but I'm still here. So how did you get through it?
I grew up in the snow, and I wanted to get away from the snow. That was one of the reasons I was going to go to Florida. And so, then when I get drafted by New England, I'm like, oh my God, I got to go back to the snow again. So you kind of get used to it. You never get used to snow in the driveway and plowing the driveway and all that. I don't know how you guys do it, man. You know, more power to you to stay up there. I'm still friends with Roland James and Ronnie LaPette. Those guys still live up there. They're from Florida. I don't know why Lip stays up there, but he still stays up there. You know, so more power to him. I like the warm weather. Feels good on my bones and my aching knees.
You know, and that's the thing. But playing in Foxborough, that's crazy, right? The home field advantage you had playing there.
And see, when we played, our turf. I mean, the turf that they have now is like, you know, it's like almost like a walking on a bed compared to what we had. I mean, we had that hard turf. I mean, it was cement underneath the turf. That's what we were running on. But the thing about it was that the home field advantage, especially in the snow. We like to play Miami in the snow and have teams come during those winter weathers, and it was an advantage for us. And you know, being a running back, I really don't like running in the snow or running in the rain, but it was to our advantage to have that home field.
Wow! So you know, 1985, you're playing in the Super Bowl. What were you thinking to yourself? You know, when you're going out on the field for the first time.
Well, you know, it's like a dream come true. You dream about it as a kid, and now you got an opportunity to play in it. It was pretty special. You know, even the week before, with all the attention from the media and different things like that, it's just incredible how it was. Everything that I thought it would be, except the turnout. But you know, it was. I think. Our thing in 85, our team, we had a fantastic team. We were on the road to New York the first game. Then we went out to L.A. to beat L.A. And no one thought we were going to beat Miami in Miami. I don't think we won a game down there in probably 20-some years. I can't remember. But it had been a long time since we won a game in Miami. And everybody wanted Miami and the Chicago Bears to play because – at that year, Miami was the only team to beat Chicago in the regular season. So everybody thought that was going to be the matchup for the Super Bowl, except us. And so it was a super ride getting there. But, you know, once we got there, it was great. But once the game was over, it wasn't so great because we didn't play to our capabilities. But it was fun getting there.
And did you think that year that you guys were going to get to the Super Bowl?
You know, you like I said, my rookie season, we were 2-14, and Raymond Berry came in my third year. I think Raymond came in 1984, and I got to give it to Raymond Berry. He really turned that team around because he started making us believe that we could win. Because my rookie season, man, I remember us playing games and I mean, we're actually winning a game and we're looking at each other because we've lost so many games. We're wondering how we're going to lose this game. And you know, we went 2-14 that year, but Ron Myers came in, he did a great job. But when Raymond came in, he just took us to a whole nother level because he made us believe that we could win. And that was the whole key to that. Yeah, we, 84, he came in half of the season. And so the 85 season, the beginning of 85, go all the way through training camp, man, we had a unbelievable team. We had some great players. We had great defense. I don't know how many turnovers we created that year, but we created a whole lot. And it was all because of Raymond Berry and having us believing that we can win. We had no doubt. Going into the Super Bowl, I thought we were going to win the Super Bowl because no one believed we were going to do it. But Chicago had one of the best defense that year and put us in our place when we got down there.
So Tony, does the Patriots have like reunions, like old teams?
Can they, we've had a reunion, the Super Bowl 85 reunion, and the I think the biggest thing now for me with the Patriots and what they do is with the alumni, they have us come back up and we sign autographs at beginning of the game and then at halftime. And the thing about the NFL, I tell my sons that one of the things that I miss the most is the camaraderie with the fellas, you know? And so, you know, you get a chance to see some of the guys that you played with and you went to battle with. And that's what makes it really cool to do that. So I got to give New England their props. They have us come back and get a chance to see the other guys because, you know, I know the guys that live up there, they're up there, but it's not a whole lot of guys. A lot of guys don't stay up there because of the weather, but, it's good to see Lip and Roland James and Steve Grogan. I used to have a golf tournament, and all those guys used to come to my golf tournament. And so we're still friends today.
I interviewed Steve Grogan probably 8 or 9 years ago. I got to go find that link to that interview. And oh man, he's a humble guy, isn't he? And
just, yes, he is. He's very humble. I remember I had a golf tournament in my hometown in Pinyan, which is like a 6 hour drive. From New England, from Boston, and I usually fly a man for some reason. Steve couldn't get on the plane, but for some reason on the flight that I need him to get on, and he drove for 6 hours to come play in my tournament. And so, you know, just that's the type of guy he is. Just a good friend and a great player, a great man. He was a baller, man. I'm gonna tell you, he was the reason, another reason why we went to Super Bowl that year because of what he did, coming in replacing Eason when Eason got hurt.
And that's the big thing that Grogan did was again the whole Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde type thing they were doing with the NFL Today. I remember that completely. You know, I'm a Pittsburgh guy, Pittsburgh Steeler fan through and through. Remember that Patriots year? Remember the Bears year? Wow, that was pretty amazing to be. Now, Greg, you told me you stopped watching sports as I have. I just at least keep track of what's happening in sports. But you, because he's such a busy entrepreneur, you know, when you a big company. Now, Greg, tell me flat out, you know, were you a Patriots fan at that time? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I was a Patriots fan back then for sure. I was just out of college, you know, 84, 85, and I remember. Well, I remember when you guys played that game against Miami Dolphins and I had this basketball goal outside the backyard attached to the garage. And I'm like, all right, if I get 10 in a row, that means the Patriots are going to win. You know? and I got the 10 and then you won, but it wasn't me, but it was you.
That's cool.
Yeah, go figure what happens. It's amazing. So that was your was that 85 Marino? You guys beat him, or was that?
That was Marino. Marino was there then. Yeah.
Oh man, that's gotta be for sure. So life after football, that's a challenge.
Life after football, I'm pretty sure you guys know my story. I got when I was playing in the league, I got addicted to painkillers, and I
see. I don't know the whole story, Tony. So
God, yeah. I got addicted to the painkillers, and I got the opportunity to write a book. It's called Broken Road, turning my mess into a message. And I made a mess, man. Just to tell you the little story on it, and I tell kids all the time, one of the keys of your success is the choices that you make. And so my third year, I think, was in the league. I had a great year. But at the beginning of the season, I got cracked ribs, and so I have an opportunity to sit down and rest my ribs, and maybe give somebody else an opportunity to take my job, or I can start taking these painkillers and stay on the field. And I made the choice to taking the painkillers, and I stayed on the field, and I played that year with not the whole year, but half the year with cracked ribs, but I got addicted to painkillers. Mm. And it was easy to get, you know, the trainers were giving us, you know, that was one of the things that, you know, how it was back then. trainers give you the painkillers and you take the painkillers and everything's fine. And you get the shot before the game and you get the shot at halftime. And, you know, after the all the stuff wears off and now you got to take all these painkillers to go to sleep. And I got hooked on them, and I was taking painkillers to go to sleep, and I was taking painkillers to wake up and to start my day and keep going. And I got addicted to painkillers, and then I started. Tell you this: one of the guys on the team. Because here's my story: I grew up in the church. We went to church every Sunday, and so I knew about God. And my father was a deacon of the church. My mom sang in the choir, and so. All those years, I never drank. I never did anything, and I was that kid that never experienced anything like that until I got to the league. And once that happened, I started using marijuana because the marijuana it would calm my nerves down a little bit, and it would not make me throw up because the painkillers were I was taking so many painkillers it was making me nauseated. And so the marijuana I started smoking marijuana, then it led to cocaine and I started, and one of the things that I tell kids all the time, who you surround yourself with tells a lot about what you're doing. And so I started to surround myself with, you know, guys that I can get painkillers from and drugs from. And it got to a bad scene, and I hurt a lot of people. I messed up a lot of things. I could have played a lot longer, could have done a lot better on the field. It was that choice that I made, of just that choice that I didn't think it was a bad choice. I thought it was a good choice to stay on the field, but it actually turned out to be a bad choice for me. And I'm not blaming it on anybody. I made the choice to do that. But here's the key to it all. I got the opportunity to write a book and started a foundation and started helping a lot of kids. And the crazy thing about all this is my little town that I grew up in, it had a heroin. I never used heroin before, but you know, opioids, addiction in that town was just crazy, man. And so I went back home and started the foundation there, and you know, tried to help people as much as I can in my little small town that you never thought would be. Kids were dying; they were actually dying in that little small town. Yeah. And so it was crazy how God. Let me go back to my own town and maybe save some lives and help a lot of kids. And we used to do golf tournaments. Once the pandemic hit, the golf tournament kind of faded away. And I'm kind of getting old now, and I'm retiring. Can't travel as much as I want. but the book is doing great. Got an opportunity to go on Steve Harvey's show and. I just want to help as many people as I can, because, you know, I got an opportunity to play a sport that, man, that I just love doing, and I made some mistakes, but I just want the kids to know that even when you make mistakes, you still can help people, and that's what I want to do. I want to help as many people as I can.
All right, Greg has this. You have two questions, I'm sure. One to follow up with them, and then your final question.
Yeah, well, so quick follow up. So like me and others, you know, you're probably a little bit upset about how the country is allowing marijuana to be sold basically at the grocery store, right? You know, and these gummies and all this stuff. And you said it pretty plainly that the marijuana led to other stuff, and I've always believed that. So
yeah.
It's a little heartbreaking to know that that's happening.
Yeah, I mean that's where we're at now, though, man. It's going to get worse. I don't see it getting any better. So, but again, and that's what I talk about in the book. It's all about the choices that you make. You got to make good choices and just try to surround yourself with good people. The more successful people you surround yourself with, the more successful you can become.
Yeah, perfect. Well, Tony, I have a question that I love to ask all my guests. What's the most important thing in life you've ever learned?
Wow. that's a good question. The most important, there's so many of them.
I know.
There's so many of them. I think one of the things that stick with me is is making sure that you tell your family and you let your family know, and you let people that you know, even if they're your friends, to let them know that, you know, you care. Let them know that, you know, you sometimes you think about them. And I think that's the thing about, you know, give me my roses now, and they'll give them to me when I'm dead. And you know, I'm a big family guy. I got a big family right now. I got 14 grandkids, and wow. I got another one on the way. So I love family, and my biggest thing for me is family. And I think one of the things that you want to make sure is that make sure you know your family knows that you love them and you care about them, and not just them. I think, you know, this crazy time that we live in, and you know, we got black against whites, Democrats against Republicans. There's so much hate, I know that's a strong word, but it's so much division. Yeah. And if we could all start, just caring about people. I don't care what color you are, you're a human being, man, and I care about you. And so that's the thing, man. We gotta love more in this time that we're in, and that's what I do now. I'm living my best life right now, man. I got a great wife, great family. It couldn't be better.
So it's a great journey for sure. Best place people can find information on you, Tony. Where can they go?
You can go to Facebook and hit me up. If you want to get the book, you can go to Amazon. They have the book on Amazon. You won't get it signed, but if you hit me up, just like you hit me on Facebook, if you hit me up on Facebook and just or Instagram, I'm on there not a lot, but I'm on there some, and just message me and I can get the book to you. I even get it signed and everything for you, it's even cheaper when you get it from me than you get it from Amazon.
See, there you go, Tony. For sure. Appreciate you coming by. It was such a great honor to have you on the show, and you hear about the Patriots and really talk about specifically going through those struggles to overcome and find your life, because all of us make mistakes. And through those mistakes, that's the only way we grow as human beings, is going through those trials and tribulations, become the person that we are today. So thanks again.
And I think the key to that, once you go through those different trials and tribulations and things that you go through, make sure you go and help somebody else with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what I think it's all about. You go through something, now you can help somebody else go through that same thing.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, guys.
All right, guys. That was Celebrity Interviews live from the Grotto with Greg Hanna. Guys, take care.